Today's Shir, Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Though our shir is for Daf Lamed, the very first line of the shir will be from the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. We notice at that point a triangle with a darkened in top to it. This is a continuation of a series that was started a few lines above that, and in our comment on the side, the mivneh, the structural note, we've stated shnei dugmos. The Gemara will have presented two examples, shel shtori odisa, documents whereby there is an admission of debt, shechaserim benusach shelahem, where the text that ought to be is lacking. Ma dinam, what is the rule with regard to such documents? So as we continue, we notice the bottom line of Chof Tes Amud Beis, Hahu, Hahi Odisa, Dehavi Kosov Bei Duchrin Pizgimi. It was a document whereby someone admitted he owed money, and there were two witnesses signed upon this document, and the expression found in it was Duchron Pizgami, which in Hebrew would be Zichron Dvorim. The Rashi at the bottom says Duchron Pizgami, Lo hayo kasuv bo Zichron Edus, Beloshon Edim. The text was not the text characteristic of witnesses, Elo Beloshon Zichron Dvorim, for who Loshon Dayonim. This expression is characteristic of judges having compiled it. V'chol, the Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Omid Aleph. There was written in it Duchron Pizgami, V'chol Lishni Debei Dina, and any other expression, and the entire text of this document was one of a court document. V'lohave Kosev Bo, and there was not indicated in this document the following, B'moisev Tlosa Havino V'chad Leisohi, that there were three of us. Three is the number that one would assume to be in a court, in a Beis Din. And the fact that two signatures appeared, it might have been a function of that there had been three, but one was not part of the signing. So all told, this expression was not in this document. Sova Ravino Lamemar, Hainu Dereish Lokish. Ravino wanted to say that the ruling on this should be in accordance with Reish Lokish's opinion that there certainly were three. Reish Lokish's opinion, just to remind ourselves, was that Chazoka Ein Hashtar, that people would not sign a document unless it was done properly. The Rashi here at the second line from the top says, "Hainu deresh lokish domar chazoka ain based in koizven shtar elo kedas ukehalocha v'hani varei tlosa havu." That even though the document was lacking this particular statement that there were three of us and one is not here, one should assume that there were three. Continuing in the Gemara, Amale Rav Nosson Bar Ami, Hochi Amrina Mishmei de Rava. Thusly, we say in Rava's name, Kol Ki Hai Gavna Chayshinon LeBeis Din Toyin. Documents like this, where there's a text that indicates it's a court document, and there was no statement that indicates that there had been three and simply one didn't sign, there's room to suspect that we're dealing with a Beis Din that is in error. A Beis Din that thinks that two judges are sufficient. And as such, we cannot assume that the document is kosher. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, I kosav bo beidina, if the document had the expression beis din written in it, su lo tzorech, there is no further room for doubt, because everyone knows that two are not called a court. The Gemara asks, V'dilma beis din chotzuf hu? Maybe it's a beis din that is basing themselves on Shmuel's teaching, which the Gemara will mention in a moment, and that's called a beis din of chutzpah. The Omar Shmuel, Shnayim Shadonu, when two rule, Dineim Din, Elo Shenikru Beis Din Chotzuf. It's considered a binding as far as Shmuel is concerned, but since they're not following the standard procedure of having three, they're considered operating in chutzpah. So as a result of this possibility, maybe the fact that the term Beis Din was recorded does not show us definitively that there were three. The Gemara answers, the Kosav Bey, Bey Dino de Ravno Ashi. The document in question, if it had the expression Dichron Pizkimo, the Duchron Pizkimo, Zichron Dvorim, and it also mentioned that it was prepared by Bey Dino de Ravno Ashi, the Beis Din of Rav Ashi, that certainly would indicate that there were three. Because the assumption being that the basin of Rav Ashi would not have two in it. The Gemara asks, V'dilma Rabbonan de Bei Rav Ashi, Kishmuel Sviro Lehu, maybe the scholars that are part of Rav Ashi's yeshiva hold that two is sufficient, like Shmuel. The Gemara answers, no. Dechsiv bo the Omar lon Ravno Ashi. If this expression was in the document, that Rav Ashi instructed us to write it thusly, and it mentioned the Bei Dina in it, Bei Dina under the instructions of Rav Ashi, that would show us that there definitely had been three. Therefore, even though two signed it, you can assume that three were present when the document was prepared. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a note on the outside margin entitled No Say and Mivneh, topic heading and structural note. We've also featured in this section triangles, which indicate a series, as all geometric forms do in our marking system. You'll notice in the text of the Gemara a section that is framed off, which indicates that it is a Tanaic source, as you are already familiar from studying our introductory material. These triangles represent three dugmaois, three examples, bekesef shemunach, where there is money that's present, venirim shehem shili, and the money appears to be mine, ubo mishehu umesaper, someone comes along and starts telling she'enom shili, that the money is not as I thought, it is not mine. Haim yesh laminu, do I rely on this testimony? Omar, the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Omar lohem echad, someone comes and reports, Ani ro'isi avichem shehit min mos b'shido tevo migdal. I saw your father hide money away in some kind of storage area. A shido tevo migdal, will classify them as different types of boxes or storage units. The Omar, and your father said that regarding those monies, shel ploini hein, shel meiser sheni hein, those monies belong to so-and-so, or those monies are meiser sheni funds. Those are money, those are funds that one has to bring to Yerushalayim and purchase food items and eat them there. So the question is, do we rely on what this man is testifying? So, bebias, if we're talking about monies in a box that are in their house, and that this speaker has no access to them, lo omar klum, his words are of no value, we don't heed them, he had no access to them, the speaker had no access to them. However, basadeh, if this money is found hidden in a field, stored away in some kind of box, buried in an open area where the speaker had access to it. Dvorov Kayomin. Then we will take seriously what he says, because we figure that he wouldn't be lying, because if he wanted to, he could have taken the monies and given them to the person he's claiming they belong to. Klolo Shodover, the rule that one can derive from here is Kol Shebiyodoi Litlon Dvorov Kayomin. Any situation that he has access to it, then the speaker's words are heeded. Notice we have a bays over here that corresponds to the encircled bays from the line above, namely Kol Shebiyodo was illustrated by the case of the field, the bays. However, Ein Biyodo Litlon, here we have an aleph, this corresponds to the first case, Babayis, where he has no access to take them, no access to the funds, then Loi Omar Klum, then what he said is of no value. Hare Shiro'u Esavim Shehitmin Mois Veshida Tevo Migdol. Some children saw their father hiding money away in a box, the Omar, and he said, Shel Ploni Hain, Shel Meiser Sheni Hain. And their father said, the monies belong to so-and-so, or they belong to the Meiser Sheni category. Im Kemoser, Dvorov Kayomen. If, as the father speaks, his words appear to one in issuing instructions, then his words are heeded. Im Kemerim, Loi Omar Klum. If, however, he's speaking in such a way, now Rashi explains Kima'arim, Shehu Misyore, he is saying this out of fear, Shelo Yitlon Bechayov, that these children shouldn't take the monies while he's alive. And that's why he's saying it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to someone else. Oi, Shelo Yachziku Keoshir, Lehoisif Al Yitzioisif. Or he's saying that these monies are not his, so that the children should not assume their father to be wealthy and thereby have more money to use for expenses. That's if the father was speaking in such a fashion that created such an impression, then Loi Omar Klum, the section concludes. Then we don't heed what the father said. Hare Shehoya Mitztair Al Mos Shehinyach Loi Oviv. There was a person who was upset that he didn't know where his father left cash. He couldn't find the money. Ubo bal hachaloim v'omar loi, and the minister appointed over dreams appeared to him in a dream at night and said, v'omar loi, kach v'kach hein, v'mokoim ploni hein, shalmeiser sheni hein. And in the dream, he was informed regarding the amount of the money, that's kach v'kachin, and where the money is, and that the money is a part of Meiser Sheni. In other words, not his. Zehoya Meiser, v'omru, divrei chaloimois loy ma'alin v'loy muridin. An incident like this actually happened, and the rabbis ruled that information revealed in a dream is of no consequence. Lo malin v'lo moridin. It doesn't benefit and it doesn't cause loss. So as far as we're concerned, if he discovers the money where the dream told him it was, he can take it and keep it for himself and doesn't have to worry that it belongs to Meiser Sheni. Shnayim oimrim zakai v'chule. At this point, the Mishnah informed us of what happens when two judges out of three rule he's innocent and only one rules that he's guilty, or flipping around the numbers. The question here is, how is this information recorded? Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll just take a look at our topic heading on the side, the Nosei Mivneh. Three deos, three opinions will be shared by the Gemara. Be'ech kosvin psak din shenifsak al yedei shenotu achrei rabim. How is one to compile the verdict or the court ruling when dealing with a ruling based on a majority opinion? How is that to be recorded? As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a diamond form that has a colored in top to it. This is explained in the note, Nafkamina Bein Shalosh Hadeos. We're going to be trying to find out what is the difference between these opinions. And step by step in the Gemara, after a recommended or suggested difference between the opinions is stated, the Gemara then, when we see the double underline mark in the appear, which is also a series marking, this will be a rejection of whatever was stated previously. So how do we record court opinions that are arrived at through following a majority opinion? The Gemara continues inside. Michtav Hechi Kasvi. How do we write that information? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zakai. The court verdict is reported simply by saying that the court ruled innocent, if it's a case of two ruling innocent and only one ruling guilty. Reish Lakish Omar, Ploni Uploni Mizakin, Uploni Mechayev. According to Reish Lakish, it's actually spelled out who the judges were that found him to be innocent and who the judge was that ruled guilty. Rabbi Elozer Omar, he has a different text. Midivrayim Nizdake Ploni. That from their words, from their deliberations, so-and-so was found to be innocent. My binayu, what is the difference between these opinions? Iko binayu, lishlumi ihu monsa bahadayu. In the event that there was a mistake, and one of the litigants was deprived of funds that he should have received, what will the rule be regarding the minority opinion that turned out to be correct? Is he expected to pay the compensation along with the others that made the mistake? The Laman de Omar Zakai, the opinion Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the verdict is reported simply or recorded as stated, Zakai, Mishalem, then he is expected to participate in the payment, even though he was correct in his ruling. Ulaman de Omar Ploni Uploni Mizakin Uploni Uploni Mechayvin, according to Reish Lakish, that said that the names of the judges and their rulings are specified, then the one who turned out to be correct, lo mishalim, he's not expected to participate in the compensation. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Dibur hamaschil lishlumei ihu monsa bahadayu. Im to'u hashnayim v'chayovim l'shalim mibesom, if the majority opinion turned out to be in error and there is a necessity for them to pay out of their pockets, pligi hanach rabbonon badayon hashlishi im yishalem chelko imohem. The controversy here at this point in the Gemara concerns the third judge that was correct. Does he have to pay with them? Rashi continues, mando marzakai kasvinon, the one who held that we write in the verdict simply the word Zakai, v'lo kasvinon pluktayu, and we don't write anything more specific, the kosovar kulam shovin, because he represents the opinion that all the judges are equal in the picture. They're all in the same basket. V'af hashlishi yishalem imohem. And therefore, the third judge, who in fact was correct in his ruling, has to contribute. If he wasn't with them, betray lohave mifsagdina. In a sense, even though he was correct in his ruling, but had he not been there, there would have been no ruling whatsoever, because no ruling is achieved with two judges alone. We'll see that point mentioned now in the Gemara. So the Gemara had asked, what's the difference between them? So the Gemara spelled out that if the opinion holds you write Zakai, then everyone is in it together. According to the opinion that says that you specify who held what, then the one who was correct doesn't have to contribute. Now the Gemara asks at the end of the line where the double underline appears, Ulamad Omar Zakai Mishalem, according to the opinion that said that they record simply Zakai, showing that they're all in it together, and hence the correct opinion nevertheless has to contribute to the compensation to the wronged party. Lema lehu, let him say, why should I contribute? E ledidi tzaisisun, if you would have listened to my opinion, atunami lo shalvimisun, then you too wouldn't have had to pay. So why should I have to contribute? Elo iko binayhu lishlume inhu monso dide. The difference between the opinions we saw above will be this new difference. And that being, do the two judges that do have to pay, do they have to cover his portion as well? Lamada marzakai mishalmi. The opinion that said that the verdict is recorded simply in a general word, zakai, then they, the two that have to pay, will have to cover his portion as well. Lamadom Raploni Uploni Mazakin Uploni Uploni Mechaivin, the opinion that says that we specify their rulings, then Lo Mishalmi, they, the ones that erred, don't have to cover the portion of the correct, of the judge who ruled correctly. And it would appear, according to this particular opinion, that the wrong party will receive 2/3 compensation. They'll pay their own portion because they erred in their ruling, but they don't cover the third judge's portion. The Gemara here asks, Ulaman di Omar Zakai Mishalmi, according to the opinion that said, by recording the general expression, they two judges have to cover the third judge's portion, the Lemru lay, why couldn't they say to him, Ilav at Behadon, if you were not with us, lo havis solik dino midi, there would have been no ruling whatsoever. So that there's no reason for us to cover your portion insofar as that your presence contributed to the problem. Elo iko binayu. The difference between the opinions we saw is mishum lo selech rochil ba'amecha. This pasuk is the source for the isur, for the prohibition of being a tale bearer, for telling people information concerning others. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zakai, the Rabbi Yochanan said, we don't specify who ruled what because of our fear of violating Mishum Lo Selech Rochil, so as not to be guilty of being a tale bearer. In this sense, by saying the details who said what, that would be a problem in his opinion of this Isser. Rish Lakish Omar, Ploni Uploni Mezakin Uploni Mechayev. Rish Lakish, who ruled that we do specify who ruled what, Mishum Demechsi Keshikra, because otherwise it would look like a lie. In other words, if we wrote simply Zakai, one might get the impression that they all ruled that way, which is not the truth. So in order to preserve truth, we specify who ruled what, being that it was not a unanimous opinion. Rabbi Elazar islay demar v'islay demar. Rabbi Elazar is sensitive to both considerations, to those of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Hilkoch kasvi hachi. Therefore, the following is recorded: midivrehem min nizdake ploni. From the words of this basin, a conclusion of innocence is reached. By phrasing things thusly, one will get the impression that it was not a unanimous decision. And on the other hand, we are not specifying who ruled what, thereby not getting involved with the problem of Lo Selech Rochil. Gomru es hadovar hayu machnisin. The Mishnah said that they finished their deliberations and they would then bring in, and the Gemara asks, Laman, bring in whom? Before we go further in the Gemara, our topic heading says, Pirush Divrei HaMishnah. We're here to explain that section of the Mishnah that said, Gomru Sadovar Hoyu Machnisin. And just like we learned now in the text, Mi Hoyu Machnisin, who was it that was brought in? So let us attempt to decipher the Mishnah. Continuing, E Lema, we've underlined E Lema and called it Aleph, indicating that we're going to attempt to discover this in stages. So we have the Eleim or Aleph here. The next line, you'll notice a Beis. And a few lines later, at the beginning of the line, you'll notice Le'olam with a Gimel next to it. These are the stages in trying to figure the Mishnah. So the first attempt is, maybe it means we bring in Le'bale Dinim. We bring in the litigants. The Gemara says that can't be the Pshat Hasam Kaimi. They were standing there the whole time. So the term of bring them in would be appropriate for someone that we saw was brought out, and now we bring him back in. But we didn't see any indication of the Baal Edinim being escorted outwards. Elo li'edim. Rather, it's referring to the witnesses. It would appear thusly that up till this point in the court procedure that the Mishnah is referring to, the witnesses were in the room that was referred to earlier in the Mishnah, and being that they were in that room that where they were addressed, now they're being brought in to hear the court ruling. So the Gemara, and there's a certain assumption that we'll see shortly by the continuation of the Gemara, that we're bringing in the witnesses now so that they can testify together. So the Gemara asks, Kiman delo kerabinosan. Rashi has a version here, Leimo delo kerabinosan. Should we therefore say that our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Nosson's approach to testimony? We will see in a Tanaic source that's brought in shortly, Rabbi Nosson's opinion that says that testimony does not need to be offered by the two witnesses together, literally. He will tell you that you can hear the testimony of one witness today, and the second witness can state his testimony the next day, and that's still considered two witnesses testifying. By the fact that our Mishnah seems to insist that the Edim are brought in, it would seem we want to have the witnesses together, and that would be unlike Rabbi Nosson. Another word about the source that we're about to read. The beginning section of the source has a brackets around it, and we've indicated in the margin where you notice the double asterisk, Matras HaSugrayim L'daleg. The purpose of these brackets is for initial skipping. De'ikur HaBraisa B'diyun HaNochachi Hino HaSeifa. That the main part of the Braisa that's relevant to our current discussion is the latter part of it, specifically Reb Nosson's opinion. Being that we've stated this verbally, it can be said that the Gemara can be read straight through right now. So, by virtue of the fact that we are trying to explain the Mishnah at this stage, that the witnesses are ushered in to the court for the purpose of seeing or hearing them testify together, the Gemara is suggesting, if that be the case, then maybe this is not like Reb Nosson, Desanya. We start the source realizing that this first section of the source is not relevant to our Gemara right now. The first section deals with the initial testimony. Do the witnesses have to be together upon witnessing the initial testimony? The Olam Ein Eduson Mitzarefis Ad Shiyuru Shneihem Keechad. The set of witnesses does not join together to form a kosher set of witnesses unless they see the incident together. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer Afilu Bozeh Acharzeh. Even if they witnessed the incident one after the other, they are still acceptable. The Ein Edusin Miskayemes Bebeisdin Achia Idu Shnehem Keechad. Their testimony won't be acceptable in a court of law unless they testify together. This notice has nothing to do with the initial citing of the incident, but rather how the information is conveyed to Beis Din. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shoymin Dvorov Shalzeh Hayom, Ukshiyofel Chavero, the Mohar, Shoymin Es Dvorov. Rabbi Nosson is of the opinion that we can listen to the testimony of one witness today, and when his friend, when the fellow witness comes, the next day we'll then listen to what he says. Our Rashi, this across from here, says Leim Odolok Rav Noson Dehomas Nisan Kotoni Delalinu Lesadi. Our, according to our Mishnah, we're suggesting now bring in the witnesses. Mishum Demitchilo Kishibotkum Shamu Dvarav Shel Ze Beloze, because when we initially were checking out the veracity of these witnesses, we were doing so without them being together, as was stated earlier in the Mishnah. So our concern to have them together seems to be a concern that would not be shared by Rabbi Noson. The Gemara says, Loi, we're not going to accept this whole approach, namely the Bayes approach. Li'olam Lebale Dinim. What we're talking about here is bringing in the Baal Edinim, the Rebbe Nechemyahi, and this is going to be conforming to Rebbe Nechemyah's opinion that we're about to see, that held that during the time of the deliberation, the litigants in fact were escorted out. And now, for hearing the final verdict, we bring them back in. The Sanya, the Tanaic source, starts, Rabbi Nechemyah Oimer, Kachoya Minhogan Shel Nikiye Hadas Shebirushalayim. The practice of the pious ones of Yerushalayim was as follows, Machnisin Lebalei Dinin, Vishoymim Divrehem. We would bring in the litigants, listen to their case, Umachnisin Eso Edim, Vishoymim Divrehem, and bring in the witnesses and hear their testimony. Umotzien oison lachutz, and notice how we've dashed underlined this because this is the key expression that will make our Mishnah understandable. And then these parties were escorted outwards, outside, venoisin venoisnin badover, and then the judges would proceed to deliberate the case. So we see here a clear illustration of the fact that the other participants in the judicial process were escorted outside. The Gemara asks, "V'hatanya gomru esadavar machnisim esoedim." This source says that the witnesses were the ones brought back in. So the Gemara says, "Hahi delo k'Rabbi Noson." This source is clearly not like Rabbi Noson, because according to this short Tanaic source, the witnesses had to be together in order to testify together, unlike Rabbi Noson's opinion. Gufa, li'olam ein edusa mitzarefes ad shiyuru shnehem ke'echad. At this point, we're now quoting from the Reisha part of the Tanaic source that before appeared in brackets. Now the Gemara is going to focus on this. And to ease your search for where this quote is coming from, we've provided arrows in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So you'll notice the parallel arrow that appears a few lines up. So this is being a quote from there. Le'olam ein edusan mitzarefes ad shiyuru shneim ke'echad. According to the first opinion, testimony cannot take place unless the two witnesses saw the event together. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Oimer afilu bozeh achar zeh. Even if their witnessing was not simultaneous, but rather one following the next. B'mai komifligi, what is the point of difference? Iboyseim akro, viboyseim asvara. If you like, I can offer a scriptural basis, and if you like, I can offer a point of logic. The Gemara, after presenting that, first presenting the possibility of presenting scriptural reference and the second possibility of svara, in actually presenting the information, that Mar now does it in a reversed fashion. Hence, our lettering continues with Iboy Sema Svara, Bayes, corresponding to the circle Bayes that was just mentioned. The Tanakama's opinion, and we're using a house form, sometimes written in and sometimes in the Gemara itself. This is indicated in the outside margin, the Mivneh. This is a reference to the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So, on the non-scriptural basis, the point of difference is explained thusly. A mono de ko masid hai, lo ko masid hai. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that a mono means al mono, on the 100. Let us just say that two witnesses are coming in, claiming that they saw A extend alone to B. So the witness who saw the beginning of the lone extension might in fact be testifying about the about $100, but it's not the same $100 necessarily that the second witness is testifying about. They didn't see it simultaneously. The Rashi explains, "Ah, mona de komasit hai ze omer befonai hilveu mona, veze omer befonai hilveu mona, ze lo roa shel ze." You have two witnesses that did not see the loan simultaneously, so what one saw, the other one did not see. Nimso she'en kan edus sholem b'mona echot. So we don't have a complete unit of testimony on the same $100. And as a result of that, they cannot link up. Let's read this again in the Gemara. The Ibois Amos Svora. Amona de komasid hai, lo komasid hai. Umona de komasid hai, lo komasid hai. The hundred that this one is testifying about is not the same hundred that his fellow witness is testifying about. The idoch, Rabbi Shulben Korcha, will say, holds as follows. Amona ba'almo travayu komisidi. They, both of them, however, are in agreement that a loan of 100 was extended. As far as this illustration is concerned, it might be that in reality it was a loan of 200. However, each one is saying 100, so in that sense, each one is in agreement that a loan of $100 was extended. And as a result of that point, that they are in agreement, even though they didn't actually see it simultaneously, they can link up. The Iboy Esema Kro, another approach to explaining the two opinions is through a scriptural reference. Dichtiv, the Tanakhama would say, thusly, Vuhu Eid, O Ro'a, O Yoda. This is a posuk in Sefer Vayikra, Perek He, posuk Aleph. We've indicated the entire posuk by the glancing at the side of your Gemara. Vayikra He, posuk Aleph, V'nefesh kisech tov, shama kul olav, hu eid, o ra'a, o yodaha, im lo yagid, v'nosa avoino. So this is an excerpt from that posuk. Vitanya, continuing in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source that says, Mimashma shenema lo yokum eid. From, if the pasuk is simply written, that there should not arise a witness. This, by the way, is a quote from Dvorim Perek Yutes Pasuk Tesvov. We've included this pasuk too on the inside margin, where it, you can see the entire pasuk is stated thusly, Lo yokum eid echod be'ish l'chol avoin l'chol chatos. B'chochet asher yecheta al pishnayim edim o ishloisha edim yokum dovar. Pasuk is saying there should not arise a single witness to testify against a man in any matter, but rather issues are established by the testimony of two or three. So had the pasuk said lo yokum eid, there should not arise a witness. Eini yodea shu echad, would I on my own, from a grammatical standpoint, known that it's a reference to a singular witness. Ma talmum echad. Why does the pasuk add the word echad? It could have simply said lo yokum eid beish l'chol avoin, but yet it adds the word lo yokum eid echad. Ze bono av. This teaches a rule. Kol mokayim shenemar eid. Whenever you see the word eid on its own, hare kan shnayim, assume two. Ad shiyufro hakosuv echad, until the Torah specifies along with the word eid the word echad, meaning one witness. V'afke rachmona b'loshon chad, and yet when dealing with two witnesses, the pasuk uses the singular expression lemeimar ad dechazu travayu kechad. This tells us, this teaches us that though we're talking about two, they must see it as one, namely see the incident together. The idach, Rabbi Shulben Korcha, on the other hand, says, Vu eid, o ra'a, o yoda, mikomakom. His understanding of the pasuk is one of a general form, namely, that he appears as a witness under all circumstances, namely, even if he is not seeing it simultaneously with his fellow witness. V'ein edusan miskayemes v'beisin. At this point, we're quoting from the latter half of the source that we referred to above. And in order to find this, you can simply use the asterisk that you see in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara and scan up the page, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. Our note on the side, the no say, the topic heading, B'sh'as ha'godas ha'edus, at the time of the sharing of the testimony, Machlokes Tanoim im Shnei Ha'edim Bo'inan Liyos Biachad. We're going to go over this Tanaic controversy regarding the necessity or lack thereof of having the two witnesses together. So we read this quote from above. V'ein edusan miskemes v'beisin ad she'idu shneim ke'achad. Rabbi Nosson Omer shemim dvorov shel zeh hayoyim u'kshiyofu chaveru lo mohar. And when his fellow witness comes the next day, shomim dvorov will listen to him. What's the basis of this controversy? Once again, just we must emphasize, this is talking about the testimony being offered. The original Machlokes Tanoim dealt with the initial sighting. So this controversy surrounds what? I can offer a piece of logic, or I can offer you a scriptural reference. Here in presenting the two sides, the Gemara will follow the order, and that we have demonstrated with the use of the letters Ibois Amos Svara. We also have used a bow tie form to highlight the names Tanakama and Rav Nosson, and also indicated in our structural note on the side that this marking will be continued on Omid Beis as well. So according to this initial approach, Mor Savar, the Tanakama holds, Eid Echod Ki Asi, when a singular witness makes an appearance in court, L'Shavua Asi, L'Mamona Lo Asi, if he is appearing by himself, and only tomorrow his fellow witness would appear, when we figure thusly, a singular witness, when he appears, his Torah strength would be only to impose an oath on the opposite litigant. In other words, one witness, if he comes into court and says, I saw you borrow money, and the litigant is denying it, the litigant would have to swear countering the testimony of the singular witness. But a singular witness does not come into court with the power to impose actual payment. The Rashi, toward the end of the page, L'Shavua Asi, Eid Echad Eino Mechayevoi Mamon El Shavua. A singular witness does not impose financial obligations, but rather the need to take an oath only. Hilkoch Kesheheid Zeyechidi V'Zeyechidi. When each witness comes and testifies singularly, Lo Shaychaturas Mamon Beidusan. It's not applicable to impose payment based on their testimony. We don't join them together. Because when they were coming, they weren't coming with a financial obligation intent. They were rather coming to impose an oath. Hence, they cannot now join up to form a financial obligation. The idoch, continuing in the Gemara, the second botai, Rabbi Nosson, otu ki osu bahadi hadodi bechad puma komisadi. Even if they were to come in together, do they testify in unison, literally in one mouth? Ella mitzarfinon lehu. Even when they come in on the same day together, we listen to their testimony one after the other, and we have to join them up. We have to combine them. Ha ha nami, so too in the case where they're coming on separate days. Litzarfinu, we are able to combine them. V'boisei makra, another approach to explain the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Nosson, is based on scriptures. The pasuk says, "Im lo yagid v'nosa avoinoi." This pasuk is a reference to a witness who does not testify, and that's considered a sin if someone knows testimony and doesn't testify. Of course, we're saying this in a fairly general fashion. There are more details to that particular halacha. However, we must continue in the reading. It says, "Udekule alma And as far as these opinions are concerned, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson, who dealt with the stating of the testimony, those two will agree, Karabona de Pligulei de Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. They will assume the side of the first opinion in the first machlokes regarding the initial citing of the incident, that it must be cited by the two witnesses together. So, first stage is, we now know that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson agree on this point, that the initial citing must be together. So what's the point of difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson? V'hocha ba'akushi ha'goda v'ri'iya ka miflagi. Akushi means to compare. Do we compare the rules of stating, of testifying, to the rules of citing? Ka miflagi is their point of controversy. Mor sovar makshinon hagada l'riya, the Tanakhama, who held they must testify together, that's an outgrowth of the need to compare the rules of testifying to the rules of citing. Therefore, hagada must be together, and that's what he's basing himself on, the pasuk that says, imlo yagid v'nosa avono, u mor sovar Rabbi Nosson will hold lo makshinon, that there is no need to compare the rules of testimony to the rules of initial citing. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, have a mishtakid olei to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina lemismeche velo komestaya milsa. Rabbi Shimon was attempting to bestow smicha upon Rabbi Yosi, but it didn't work out. Yumachad have a Yosef kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. One day they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar lahu, Rabbi Yochanan asked, "Mi ika diyada halachik Rabbi Shul ben Korcha oilo? Is there anyone here that knows whether we shall follow the ruling of Rabbi Shul ben Korcha, that this initial sighting does not have to be in unison or simultaneous? Do we rule like him or not?" Omar le Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, Dein Yoda. Rabbi Shimon points to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina and says, he knows. Omar le Lema Ezu. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so let him say which way to go. Omar le Rabbi Shimon says, before he speaks, Lismeche Mor Beresha, bestow upon him the smicha title, namely that he shall be called Rebbe, and with that title he can then judge the Dine Knossos, rules that are considered Knas payments, and then after you bestow upon him this title of Smicha, he'll then answer your question. Samches Rabbi Yochanan bestowed that upon him. Omar Le Binia Morli Ketzat Shamatis. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Yossi, say how you heard regarding this matter. Omale, Rabbi Yossi says, Kach Shamati, She Moide Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, the Rabbi Nosson. I heard that Rabbi Shua ben Korcha will agree with Rabbi Nosson that Hagoda, that the statement of testimony, does not have to be in unison, namely that the two witnesses do not have to state their testimony together. Let's just bear in mind that this is not exactly this is not an answer to the question that Rabbi Yochanan posed. Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo zeh hu tzrachti. Did I need to hear that? Namely, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha will concede to Rabbi Nosson regarding the testifying of the witnesses? Hashto ma ikariya bahadi hadadi om Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha lo bo'inon. Mind you, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha holds that the initial citing doesn't have to be together. In other words, even if the original citing can be done one after the other, and we will combine them, Hagada mibaya, do I need to be taught Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha's opinion regarding the testifying? Certainly, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, would admit to Rabbi Nosson that they don't have to testify together. So at this point, Rabbi Yochanan is expressing his exasperation in this particular answer that Rabbi Yossi provided. I don't need to. What you said is so obvious. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan said, Hoyol ve'olisa lo tered. But since you have risen, in other words, since smicha has been bestowed upon you, and we don't take it away. You don't have to descend. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Shema Mino, we see from this incident, Gavar Rabba, Kiva the Samich Samich, that a great man, once he imposes or bestows the smicha title, it sticks. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin, and we see the Nosei, the topic heading, Halacha Rabbi Shuv and Kocha, Diyesh Tziruf, Afilu Biriyas Ha'edus, Ze Achar Ze. We will see rulings that accept in a general fashion Rabbi Yeshua's approach that there is a combination, even when the initial sighting was not simultaneous. Machlekes, we will, however, see a controversy. Ibo inon shishnei edim ro oisu davar rak boze achar ze o yesh tziruf afilim enoi oisu davar mamish rak oisu schum. The controversy will be: is it such that we'll follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha only if the sighting was not simultaneous, but we know the sighting concerned the same item? Or it could be that we will accept combining witnesses, even if the actual item of testimony that witness one is testifying about is not the same item as witness two is testifying about, but nevertheless we'll be able to combine them. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Oven Omar Rav Halacha Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that we combine witnesses who did not see the initial testimony simultaneously, bein bekarkois, bein bemetaltlin, whether it concern a matter of land or a matter of portables. Let's glance at Rashi at the upper part of the page, bein bekarkois. Ze omer befonai hoida loi shekarka ze shaloi, ze omer af befonai hoida lo. One witness comes and says, I heard A admit that a particular piece of land belongs to B. And witness 2 said, in front of me also A admitted. Now, these two witnesses that are claiming they heard A admit to B, they did not hear A's admission together. Namely, the two witnesses were not together at the time of the admission. As far as metaltalin, portables, are concerned, let's continue with the Rashi. Bein b'metaltalin, ze omer b'fonai hilveu mona, ze omer b'fonai hilveu mona. Witness 1 says that in my presence I saw A loan $100 to B, and witness 2 says, in my presence, I saw A loan $100 to B. The Afalpi de Amona de Komasid Hai, Lo Masid Hai, even though it's not the same 100 that witness 1 is testifying about as that which witness 2 is testifying about, Mikom Mokom Travayu Misadi Shechayav Lomona. However, it is clear that both witnesses are admitting or are testifying that a 100 was loaned. So that's Rav's opinion, that we follow Rabbi Shimon Korcha both in the case of an admission concerning land and an admission concerning cash, portables. Ula Omar Halachi Rabbi Shimon Korcha Bekarkois, that we will accept Rabbi Shimon Korcha's idea of combining witnesses when it concerns a matter of land, avol loy b'metaltalin. The way Ula states this halacha is that we follow Rav Shubha and Korcha's opinion with regard to land. Omar le'abaye, halacha michlal de pligi. The fact that Ula has to say that we follow his opinion with regard to land, it sounds like someone would disagree with that. V'omar Rav Yikobo, Om Rav Huna, Om Rav, Moedim Chachomim Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Be'edus Karka. According to Rabbi Abba, though, the Chachomim agree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha regarding land testimony, that we do combine the two witnesses, even though their citing or their witnessing of the admission was not simultaneous. So, according to Rabbi Abba, and using our markings, we've emphasized the expression moidim be'edus karka, that would counter Ula's presentation by saying halacha, like Rabbi Shimon Kocha B'Karkois. Using the expression the halacha is like indicates that someone else feels something else. Whereas you see, according to Rabbi Abba, moedim regarding Eidus Karka, they admit there's agreement. V'toni Rav Idi Bar Ovin, B'Nezikin de Beikarna, and Rav Idi teaches in a Tanaic source that was learned in the Yeshiva of Karna. Moedim Chachomim, once again we've dashed underline this, Moedim Chalom Rishuban Karcha, Be'edus Bechor, U'Be'edus Karka, U'Be'edus Chazoka, V'chein Shebeben V'Shebebas. As far as our concern at this point, we are focusing on simply that which we've dashed underlined, and once again, it's the Chachomim agreeing with Mishuban Korcha with regard to his stand on Eidus Karka, and that's not like Ula. The Gemara answers, Gavra a Gavra, Ramis, are you attempting to ask Akasha on Ula from Rabbi Abba? More Savar Pligi, Ula holds that there is controversy between Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha and the Chachomim regarding land testimony, and Umor Savar Lo Pligi, and Rabbi Abba and company will hold that there is no controversy. At this point in the Gemara, you'll notice a bracketed section. The bracketed section lasts about three lines, and that's indicated by the bracket length indicator, the dashed dotted line that you see to the side of the Gemara text. The reason for the use of these brackets is explained by the asterisk that you find on the margin. Acharei hasograim, haGemara mamshicha ladun b'masai poiskin Reb Shimon Korcha. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will continue with the issue of when do we follow Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha's opinion with regard to combining witnesses to form a unit of testimony. Is it karkois, land, metaltelin, or portables? In the bracketed section, on the other hand, we're going to be investigating what was meant by the closing phrase of the Tanaic source we just heard, the expression v'chein shebeben v'shebebas. So now that we know the structure of the Gemara, there is no pressing need to skip the next three lines. Let's go straight through. Mai v'chein shebeben v'shebebas. We've underlined I lema and called that stage aleph, and then skipping a line, the first word on the succeeding line will be elo, stage beis. Two stages in trying to figure this out. I lema echod oimer achas begabo, ve'echod omer achas bekresa. This section of the Tanaic source deals with establishing adulthood. Establishment of adulthood is accomplished by verifying that there are two hairs that accompany adulthood, namely reaching the age of 12 years and a day for a woman, or 13 years and a day for a man, and you have two witnesses that will testify concerning the presence of these hairs. What are these individual witnesses seeing? And bearing in mind, we're dealing with the issue of combining two witnesses. Let us emphasize that adulthood is established by the presence of two hairs. So, in lema, the Gemara says, Echod oimer achas begabo, v'echod oimer achas bekreso, that one of the two witnesses is saying, I saw a hair located on the gav section of the body, and the other witness is saying, I saw the other hair on the kreso section of the body. The Gemara says that could not possibly be grounds for joining up the testimony. Why? At this point, the Gemara rejects the ilema. Hai chatzi dover v'chatzi edusu. You have only half information. Namely, you don't have a singular witness on a full point of information. Chatzi dover means one hair. One hair is of no value in establishing adulthood. And Chatzieidus is a reference to a singular witness. The expression of Dovor is a reference to that which appears in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yakum Dovor, that through the testimony of two witnesses, Dovor, an incident or a fact, a complete fact is established. Here, you don't have a Dovor, you don't have a complete unit of information. You have a Chatzi Dovor, namely the one hair. Ella, the Gemara goes on, Echad Omer, one witness says, Shtayim Begabo, that I saw two hairs on the Gabo section. The Echad Omer, Shtayim Begreisa, the other witness is saying I saw two hairs as well, but he made reference to a different section of the body. The main point here, though, is you have two witnesses, each one testifying to adulthood status. Minor difference as far as the location of the two hairs, but as far as Rabbi Shua ben Korcha is concerned, we are able to combine these two witnesses to form a unit of testimony. As we continue in the Gemara, we go back to the issue of ruling like Rabbi Shua ben Korcha and under what circumstances. Omar Rav Yosef. Notice we've dashed on the line Rav Yosef and also indicated that his comment is going to last a few lines. With the encircled Rav Yosef, you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and the dashed vertical line. Rav Yosef says, Ano amino mishmei de'ula. Before we go any further, let us also take note of the appearance of the diamonds, the Mivne note we have on our outside margin says, Rav v'nahardoi chokim b'inyan mosai poiskim k'rabishu ben kocha l'afsher tziruf. We'll see a controversy between Nahardoi and Rav as far as when to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So Rav Yosef says that I heard in the name of Ula, Halacha Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Bein Bekarkois, Bein Bimetaltalin. That we follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, whether it be in matters of land or matters of portables. We've noted here, with an asterisk, to the inside margin, Shoina mi'ulo deli'el. This version of Ula, namely Rabbi Yosef's presentation of Ula, is different than the Ula presentation we saw above that said that we rule like him in karka and not in land. Continuing in the Gemara here, V'rabonon di'osim l'mechuza, Amri, the Rabbanon who came forth from Mechuza, name of a place, they said, Omer Rabbi Zero Mishmei Derav, Bekarkois in Avol Loi Bimetafelin. That will follow Rabbi Shua ben Korcha with regard to land, but not with regard to testimony concerning portables. Rav Litaame. This is Rav consistent with what he has ruled elsewhere. Hoido achar hoido. We're going to see here four different scenarios. Aleph is a case where a witness testifies, I heard A admit to B, that A owes $100 to B. And then a second witness comes at another point later and says the same thing. Hoido achar halvo. This is a case where initially a witness said, I saw money loaned. In other words, if A is going to be the one owing B, so the first witness said, I saw B loan $100 to A. A second witness then says, I heard A admit that he owes $100 to B. Mitztarfi. They can join up. Halvo achar havo, halvo achar hoido. However, if one witness says, I saw the money loaned, and then B says, he says that I too saw money loaned, but they did not see it together. And likewise, the case of halvo achar hoido, that means the first witness testifies, I heard one party admit that he owes money to the second party, and then after that, the second witness testifies that he saw a loan extended, lo mitstarfi. And the cases Gimel and Dalid, they do not join up. Ashkechei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, Amalei, and he asked him, Mai shno halvo achar halvo doloi? Why is it that in a case of where witness one says, I saw B loan money to A, and then witness two says, I saw separately B loan money to A, that they don't join up? Demona de kohozi hai, lo kohozi hai. That the $100 that witness one saw is not the same $100 that witness two saw, because as we said already a few times, we're talking about cases where the two witnesses did not see the loan simultaneously. And you said that they don't join up because it's not the same $100, so they can't join up. Well, if that be the case, hoido achar hoido nami, in the case of admission, mona de komoide kami hai, lo modi kami hai. The mona, the $100 that was admitted in front of witness one, was not necessarily the $100 admitted in front of witness two. So the Gemara says, as far as that's concerned, that's not true. The Omale, the borrower said, Lahai Basra, the borrower informed the second witness to hear the admission, Behind Mona the Oidi Le Kamoch, regarding the $100 that I'm admitting now in front of you, Oidi Le Nami Kami Ploni, I admitted the same $100 was owed while in the presence of the first witness. So the second witness is aware that what he is hearing right now is the same amount that was admitted in front of the first witness. The Gemara asks, Akati Basri Yoda Kamalo Yoda. The second witness knows that he is one of two witnesses, but the first one doesn't. The Gemara answers, the Hodar Ozil Omar Leila Kamo. The borrower goes, after informing the second witness about this, he goes to the first witness and says, Hai mona de odi le kamoch, odi le nami kami ploni. The $100 that I admitted owing to you, I also have already admitted in front of the second witness. Omalei, oh, so upon hearing this explanation, he says, Tanuach daicha she hisnachta es dati. You should have a feeling of comfort in knowing that you put my mind at ease. And now, therefore, I understand why the case of hoido achar hoido joins up, as opposed to the other case of halvo achar hoido, which does not join up. Or, more accurately, the case of halvo achar halvo, which does not join up. Amale, so after having seemingly resolved the problem, he says, my nichusa, of what benefit did I serve you in my resolution? The Rava v'itemer of Sheshes shoda b'narga. Rava, or some versions have Rav Sheshes, threw an axe into this explanation. Lav hainu hoido achar halvo. Would this not be the same as a case, namely, would the case of hoido achar hoido not be in effect the same as the case of hoido achar halvo, where first one witness saw the loan and the second witness saw or was a party to the admission? The Rashi on the lower part of the page, in the wide lines, Lav hainu hoido achar havo, kevin de bo'inon de yoda sada v'chavrei, since we're establishing that in order for the witnesses to join up and form a singular unit, the one witness has to be aware of what the other witness was party to. You'll therefore have to say the case of admission following loan is set up under the same circumstances. The Omerle Labasra, the borrower says to the second witness, Mona de Modino Kamoch, the $100 that I am admitting to you, Yasvi Kami Planya, I borrowed while in the presence of the first witness, the Hodar Mole Lekamo. And this borrower will then turn to the first witness and say, Mona de Yasvi Kamoch, the $100 that I borrowed in your presence, Odoi Le Kami Planya, I admitted that amount being owed in the presence of the other witness. Vitarti Lomali Lerav Lememar. Why would Rav have to teach these two cases when it would be sufficient to teach one of them and I could figure out the other? So his withdrawal, so to speak, of his original explanation of difference between cases is the withdrawal is based on the fact that otherwise we'll now have repetition in Rav's teachings. If that be the case, that you're withdrawing the nice interpretation that you gave that put my mind to ease, I now understand what they've said about you, cut down trees and then replant them. What does that mean for our purposes? So Rashi explains, Deramisu dikli vizakfisule shatem mishunim, that you're strange. Kitzim dekolim, that you cut down trees. Vechosun venoitin mosam, and then you set them up again. You plant them up. You plant them again. Klomar boinim vesoisrim shikrashim mikushta, that you build and destroy. In other words, two opposite actions. At first, you explain to me my question. You resolve my difficulty. And then you come and then knock down the explanation. Continuing in the Gemara, we now have featured the Nahardoi name in a diamond, and this is in order to contrast it with Rav's opinion that we saw above. Nahardoi Amri, Bein Hoido Acher Hoido, Bein Hoido Acher Havo, Bein Havo Acher Havo, Bein Halvo Achar Hoido Mitztar Vois. All of these cases will join up, because even if it's a case of Halvo Achar Halvo, nevertheless, even if it's a loan in front of one witness and then a separate loan in front of a second witness, but the two witnesses are in agreement that $100 is owed. Kiman, the ruling of Nahardoi is based on whom? Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha would be a ruling based totally on Rabbi Yishua ben Korcha, that allow witnesses who saw things non-simultaneously to join up. As you can see in our markings, we have a slash in the Gemara. This indicates that which follows is of a totally new content. Glancing in the outside margin, the nosei, the topic, edus hamakcheshes vividikois, testimony offered by two witnesses where there seems to be a contradiction on the questions classified as bidikos. These are questions that are not related to time and place, but other information that's part of the testimony. We'll discuss in the realm of Dine Mominus and also the Dine Nefashis, whether it be in the case of financial matters or capital cases. As far as the markings are concerned, we will be noting the house form by looking at the Mivneh heading, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rav Chisda, the Hakosha Bevedikos, Sheheim Einom Iker Guf Ha'edus, Bedine Nefashos. How to treat a contradiction in witnesses in matters of bedikos, which are not part of the essential matter, and we'll define what do we mean by essential matter as we go on in the Gemara, within the realm of capital cases. We're also going to see a triangle appear, And that is explained, Machlokes Rava v'Nahardoi will feature on this Amid Rava, on the next Amid we'll see Nahardoi, the Hakosha Bedine Momenus, contradiction in testimony in the realm of financial matters, Bedover Shu Iker Guf Ha'edus, regarding something that's a main element of the incident. So Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista is in the realm of Dine Nefoshos, regarding contradiction of information that's not the heart of the matter, and Rava and Hardoi will be arguing within the realm of Dine Momenus concerning a contradiction that is relevant to the heart of the incident. Omer of Yehuda, Edus Hamacheshes Zu Ezu Bevdikais, testimony wherein there is a contradiction in the realm of Bedikais, questions that are not time nor place. Kshera Bedine Momenus, by saying it thusly, it sounds as if he's saying, but it would not be acceptable in Dine Nefoshos, in capital cases. Omar Rova, Mistabro Milse de Rav Yehuda, the Echod Oimer Ba'arniki Shechora, and the Echod Oimer Ba'arniki Levona. Rav Yehuda was willing to say that a caution in Bedikos is kosher in Dine Momenus. That's most likely if the controversy between them or the contradiction involves something that's not the heart of the matter. Namely, one says the money that was loaned in a black pouch, and the other one was in a white pouch. In other words, the color of the pouch is not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter in this issue would be the amount of money, or testimony regarding the money itself. But as far as the pouch in which the money was found, that's of secondary importance. Avol echod omer mono shochor ve'echod omer mono lavan. If, however, one witness describes the money as being a dark money, black money, and the other one says it was shiny and new, or lavan, white, then ein mitzdarfin. And the result, the reason for that being, since there's a contradiction regarding the heart of the matter, in other words, in testimony concerning the money itself, they cannot join up. The Gemara asks, "V'arniki shchoira bedine nefoshos loy." Arniki shchoira is a borrowed expression which would mean information that's not at the heart of the matter. In the realm of Dine Nefoshos, would you say is not kosher? The reason for this question is that which we dot underlined before. If you go up two lines, you see that we said that the Hakosha in Dine, the Hakosha contradiction is kosher. That's if you're in the realm of Dine Momenus. And we're adding, provided it was not the heart of the matter. But in Dine Nefoshos, non-heart of matter contradiction would not be acceptable. But we see that not to be the case. V'ha'omar Rav Chista, Echod Omer B'sayef Harago, V'echod Omer Baririn Harago, Ein Zenochon. In a capital case, if there's a contradiction regarding the murder weapon, one says it was a sword, the other one says it was an Ariron. According to the commentaries here, on the inside margin, says Ke'en Ismail, type of knife. But there's a contradiction regarding the murder weapon itself. Ein ze nochon means, it's an expression borrowed from the pasuk that says, V'nei emes nochon hadavar. It means they're not mechuvonos. They're not aligned, and hence we don't accept them. However, echad omer kelov shchorim ve'echad omer kelov levonim. If one said he was wearing dark clothing, another one said he was wearing white clothing, hareze nochon, then they are considered aligned. This information, of course, the color of the clothing, is secondary information. But what do we see from here? That even though we're dealing with a capital case, we have secondary information and a contradiction between the witnesses. Hareze nochon means it is acceptable. In other words, Rav Chista's presentation is being raised as a question on Rav Yehuda's presentation, who said that that contradiction of secondary information would be acceptable only in the case of dinei momonos. So the Gemara responds, Gavro agavro koramis, are you asking a question on Rav Yehuda from Rav Chisda? They happen to disagree. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.